This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
Hello there, everyone. This is the From a Certain Point of View podcast. We are on episode 32. I am Josh.
I'm Adam.
And what's going on today, Adam?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. How about you?
Oh, you know, just enjoying some air conditioning for right now because I was out in the heat for a little bit there.
It's pretty warm up here in Western PA.
It is. It's a warm day. We're enjoying the weather here. Thank you if you're joining us live or if you're listening later, either way. And Adam, what have you been up to in Star Wars this week?
I watched a little bit of Clone Wars while I was working yesterday. And other than that, I hung out with David from Tatooine Sons for a little bit yesterday. And we recorded a little interview that I think is dropping on Facebook about midweek this week. So it's pretty cool hanging out with David. We talked a little bit about Star Wars video games, and we'll get into chatting a little bit about that in the news section here, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So
awesome.
That is pretty much my Star Wars week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching that interview later this week then, for sure. Yeah, I haven't been too busy in Star Wars this week, aside from continuing season two of Rebels, which I'm really enjoying, where I was at the part in the season where Rex and the other ex-clone troopers show up and into the storyline and everything. So it's just been interesting to see the dynamic between Kanan and Rex, because obviously he doesn't trust the clones at this point because of what happened during Order 66, and then keeping him. And it's kind of like seeing the end of Clone Wars has given me new perspective, and I think I'm appreciating Rebels even more. And how it ties into season seven of the Clone Wars and everything. It's interesting to see it with fresh eyes again, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then last night just watched the Disney Gallery Mandalorian episode and excited, looking forward to talking about that today.
Absolutely. I finished that one up about 20 minutes ago.
Nice. Yeah, it was a short
one. Fresh in my mind. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. We also had another big poll question this week. We had almost 200 responses. So thank you if you voted in that poll and everything. We appreciate that. The question was about the cutest creature. And we had four different options. Now, I threw in one option that wasn't from the Star Wars universe, just because, you know, in our conversation with Force of Light last week, we kind of talked a little bit about Baby Groot and everything. And so I put in there, who is the cutest creature? We had Baby Yoda, Babu Frick, Baby Groot, and the Porgs. And Adam, I know you were very interested in like what was going to get second place.
I mean, Baby Yoda was just going to run away with it. We know that. So I was
I think we were well aware that.
Yeah, I was kind of more interested to see what was going to happen second through fourth.
So here's how it went down. Baby Yoda, of course, took it away with 81% of the vote. Then we had Babu Frick with 7%, Baby Groot at 5%, and the Porgs at 7%. So all of the Star Wars creatures, you know, made the top three. So yeah,
good.
Yeah, I just thought it would be kind of a
Star Wars show that fits, I guess.
Yes. But I thought it would be just a fun poll to do and
to
lighten things up this week and everything. I know it's been a pretty heavy week for a lot of people out there. So
I voted for Babu Frick just to give him a boost, but that didn't work out how I planned. So
that was a good effort anyway. I of course love all of those creatures, but you know, I had to go with Baby Yoda just when it came down to pure cuteness. So
yeah, I can't fault you for that.
So Adam, can you tell us what's coming up on this week's show?
I can. We've got some news, which is basically mainly TV news. We've got some video game news to talk about, like I mentioned. And then after that, we're going to jump into Disney Gallery, Mandalorian episode 6, which was The Process. And then finally, I wrote a blog post on Wednesday night and published it on Thursday morning. And we wanted to go a little bit more in depth with that. So we're going to kind of use that as a catalyst for discussion today about what's happening in the world and, you know, what we as Star Wars fans can learn from the movies and what we can do.
Excellent. Sounds like a great show ahead. And we're going to jump into our news segment.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Okay, so our news is brought to you by Far, Far Away News. And our first piece of news for today has to do with the new game show hosted by Ahmed Best, Star Wars Jedi Temple Challenge. And it's actually starting June 10th, which is a week later than was originally scheduled, mm-hmm. because it was supposed to start this week. And I jumped onto to YouTube on the 3rd the other day, and I was looking for it because Sydney was excited. She wanted to watch it. She was like, I want to watch that new Star Wars show, Dad. And I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. I was like, what's going on here? So I jumped onto farfarawaynews.com, and I saw that it was bumped back a week. I imagine in light of everything been going on with, you know, the rioting and everything like that that's been happening, the protests. So, but it goes on to say that Jedi Master Kelleran Beck, also known as Ahmed Best, will open the gates to his very own Jedi Temple, where promising Padawans will face various challenges to prove they are worthy of becoming real Jedi Knights. So I'm definitely looking forward to this premiering on the 10th. So that would be, what would that be? Sunday, Monday. Would that be Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, my math's not strong. I'm not. Yeah,
Wednesday. Wednesday the 10th. Yep.
Awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this already, Adam. Any additional thoughts about it being bumped back a week, or any more thoughts about this game show?
No, I'm still excited for it, and you know, with everything happening, it was a smart move to bump it back just a week.
So. Yeah, definitely understandable. And continuing with the theme of Star Wars kids. And, you know, here at From a Certain Point of View, Adam and I are both, of course, fathers, and we have young daughters, and we're all about introducing coming up with ways to introduce our kids to Star Wars. And mm-hmm. we want to present that information to you. So we have the latest Galaxy of Adventures short on the Star Wars YouTube Kids channel. We have Luke's Journey to Dagobah. And Luke Skywalker trains in the ways of the Jedi with Master Yoda, learning the power of the Force. So again, they've been doing a few of these shorts just with to celebrate the 40th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back. And this is another one that's out there. So if you have kids at home, it's definitely worth checking out. I showed my daughter this one as well. Adam, did you get a chance to check out The Journey to Dagobah?
No, I haven't. I gotta be honest, I haven't watched any of these. I watched a couple, but I haven't watched any of the new ones yet, at least.
Yeah, they're interesting. You know, it's sort of just a different take and animated form of things that happened in the original movies and everything. So it's just a way of introducing kids to these stories. Yep. And next up in TV news, we have some more information on the Cassian show, and it's scheduled to shoot this month because the UK has moved forward with production, and they'll be following government endorsed guidelines for working safely during the COVID-19 pandemic. But I just think this is just great news that we're going to be having Cassian Andor series shooting this month. And it's just kind of refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, it's good to know that these things are moving ahead again and getting back on track, and it's been a long few months, so it's nice to see some things start to return to as close to normal as they can be.
Definitely. And you know, I've just been wondering if I'm sure the Cassian series will use the volume as well. But yeah, I've just been thinking if they're going to have the same kind of shooting style, and we'll get into the process of the Mandalorian and everything in a little bit, but I'm wondering if they're going to follow suit with the way the Mandalorian has gone about shooting. Any thoughts about that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I actually haven't really thought about it. They would be reproducing a second volume over in London, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're doing that over there, or if it's going to
be... Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm sure we'll get a whole documentary special on Disney Plus about how they shot it.
You think we'll get another version of Disney Gallery with Cassian?
I hope so. I'd like to see this a lot. You know, I love the behind the scenes stuff, and I think Disney Plus is a great place to feature that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if we'll get like another like 8-episode full thing like we got with this.
Right. Yeah, it might not be that extensive.
I mean, we've been like really lucky, I guess, with how much behind the scenes stuff we've gotten with Mandalorian, because I mean, you think about this is like way more than normal DVD releases anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think it's just great to, and we've talked about this before, just utilizing Disney Plus to have those type of behind the scenes things, you know, and and everything. I think it's great to take a look behind the scenes of those productions. So we'll see if we learn about the process of the Cassian Andor series and how it compares to the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Moving on to some gaming news, Adam, which you mentioned a little bit earlier. We have Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga exclusive Best Buy Steelbook case has been revealed. Mm-hmm. And the Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga will be released on October 20th. At least it's planned for release on October 20th. I know I've been waiting a while for this one. And you know, I know you're a big gaming fan, Adam. Have you got into any of the Lego Star Wars games in the past? Looking forward to this one or not?
Yeah, they can be fun. I've played some of them in the past. They have a very devoted fan following. They're always pretty quality games. That said, it's just it's not usually something I really jump into, and I probably won't jump into this. So, but yeah, they're usually very well done games, and I know a lot of people are pretty excited for this, especially getting a steelbook out of it. Steelbook's pretty cool. It's like a Han themed steelbook with Han in the Carbonite.
In Carbonite, yeah. I guess it says here, if you pre-order the game for console at Best Buy, it comes with the exclusive steelbook case featuring Han Solo, Frozen in Carbonite.
Yeah.
Available systems include PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, with all versions looking more or less the same, it says. So I think I'm going to have to get this one. I think Sydney would enjoy like playing along with me or watching me play and everything. Yeah. And so I think I'm going to have to pick this one up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great.
Steelbook is looking appealing.
Yeah, it definitely looks pretty cool.
No doubt about it. And continuing with our gaming news, we have an exciting announcement. And I think this news might have just broken late last night, I believe, that Project Maverick is going to be revealed on June 9th. So that's just 3 days from today. So according to Bespin Bulletin, Project Maverick is officially set to be revealed on June 9th. So before it's officially revealed, any final predictions or thoughts on what this might be?
My hope would be a Rogue Squadron-esque type game. I don't know if it'd be like called Rogue Squadron, kind of how they revived Battlefront like they did.
Right.
I don't know if it'd be like a Black Squadron thing or, you know, something like that. I don't know. But I think it's going to be like I hope it's going to be some type of flight sim dogfighting type thing. Some of that art that leaked kind of maybe lends itself towards that type of game. So that's what I'd be hoping for. And I wanted to make sure that this is clear, that we don't know for sure that this is happening on June 9th. This is, you know, leaks and stuff like that. And so June 9th could very easily come and go, and we might not actually get, you know, an actual reveal. But however, with there being no E3 this year, this is kind of the time when I would expect something like this to come out. So it makes sense, and I think we'll see something. I would just don't sit here and hold your breath for 3 days until June 9th.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, I'm not very familiar with Bespin Bulletin. I don't know how reputable they are.
I've heard they're good. I haven't heard any reason to not trust them.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things with reveals and things like that. Especially with date leaks, you know, they could be right, could be wrong. So and they can change. You know.
Yes.
This could be very accurate, and then June 8th comes up, and they maybe say, hey, we need to hold off for a few days on this, and then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, things like that happen, especially with leaks like this. So,
yeah, it's just a good point, Adam. And we always have to be cautiously optimistic about what we see online, for sure, unless it comes from, you know, something official. So,
yeah, right.
But yeah, I'm with you on your prediction of what it could be. I felt from the beginning that it would be some type of Starfighter type game or Rogue Squadron esque game. So hopefully that's what it is, because I'd be very excited about that. And hopefully we will find out soon. RFB is saying that Bespin Bulletin is pretty trustworthy. So let's hope that that reveal comes on the 9th.
Yeah. And I just want to say again, I know I already said this, but even if it doesn't happen, I wouldn't put that on Bespin Bulletin, just for anyone right. listening out there. I know you're not. I'll just. When this comes out in podcast form, or, you know, whatever, or even people, you know, when people start talking about it on Twitter, things like that, can't always pin that back to Bespin Bulletin if it doesn't happen. So
that's a very good point. Definitely. So yeah, we are, I think that wraps it up for our news segment this week, and we're going to dive into Disney Gallery, episode titled Process.
My disappointment in your performance cannot be overstated.
So the latest episode of Disney Gallery Mandalorian, this I believe was episode 6, is that right? Titled Process, was actually a short one, but a good one. And it started off with Jon Favreau basically saying that, you know, and I found this to be very interesting, that he didn't want to necessarily be just influenced by Star Wars when he made The Mandalorian. He wanted to be influenced by what George was influenced by. So looking back at this type of samurai stories, Westerns, Lone Wolf and Cub type of storylines, and we can see a lot of evidence of that in The Mandalorian. And I think when you think about the sequel trilogy, this idea just popped into my mind, I think that was largely influenced and based off of the original trilogy of Star Wars, but maybe didn't necessarily go back to what George was originally inspired by with mythology and things right. that are, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I think when you're watching The Mandalorian, you can really feel the inspiration behind it and everything. Did this comment or this quote strike you at all?
Oh yeah, yeah, that hit me like a ton of bricks when I first started the episode. Mm-hmm. It's like, right out of the gate, hearing John say that was kind of set the tone for what I was expecting to see for the rest of the episode. And you know, getting those, like you said, looks at like Westerns and all this other stuff, just hammered that point home. We always heard about this being like a Western samurai style show, and. Yeah. Definitely hammered the point home for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting to kind of discover that where filmmakers get their ideas from, you know, where they originate from. And you know, there's usually always some kind of influence, you know, behind even the greatest films and the greatest TV shows, you know. So I thought that was interesting. And this episode really focused in on what the process looked like of making The Mandalorian. You know, Jon Favreau started with a script, and then eventually there's a storyboard, which we saw was viewed as like an animated storyboards where, you know, you could see the motion and action and what was happening. And then eventually it became pre-visualization. And this process made shooting the live action stuff, you know, really as efficient as possible, because we know in TV, maybe you don't have as high of a budget or as much time to film. So everything needs to be really planned out in the best way possible. So what did you think of this process, Adam, and the way that they did this?
I thought it was very interesting. And, you know, like I hadn't really thought about this much. And you know, like, I know everything they did with the volume and how much they revolutionized there, but they've actually done a lot more than just revolutionizing with the volume. They kind of went back and changed a lot of how the process has been used before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard kind of mentioned how excited she was when she saw how they were using things like previz. Also, every time I hear previz, I want to put law at the end.
Previz law. I know that's the same thing I was thinking of last night when I was watching this.
But yeah, it was pretty cool throughout this whole episode to see how much they changed, not just with the volume, but how they changed with so many other things, going back to the game engines and being able to almost film inside of the game engine. And pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too, like, you know, Dave Filoni being brought into this and in his eye for animation and his experience with animation and, you know, the planning and preparing for shooting, you know, starts with that animation of whether it was the storyboards or the previz and everything. So I'm sure he played a critical role in that as well.
Yeah.
And it was interesting too to kind of hear more about Jon Favreau's experiences with The Jungle Book and The Lion King and how those experiences really informed this process. It was almost like this evolution that Jon Favreau went through with, you know, Jungle Book, then Lion King, then Mandalorian, and each one like built off the other and coming to this kind of final product they had with the volume and using the VR technology and everything. So I thought it was very fascinating to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, towards the end of the episode, there was this conversation going on, you know, between Jon Favreau and Rick, his last name is escaping me right now.
Famuyiwa.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you for your help on that one. And he was just talking about how
it's fun to say now that I think I'm getting better at saying it.
Right. Once you get the hang of it.
Yeah.
But kind of you could jump into that VR headset and kind of see what was going to happen. And then you go and you shoot it. And he said, you know, like what happened in that previz ended up being like what was shot and it, lining up quite a bit and looking very similar. And just the ability to do that is something that's going to be utilized in season 2 of The Mandalorian for every scene, Jon Favreau said. So I thought that was just really amazing and fascinating. And I don't know if you had any final overall thoughts or impressions about this whole process.
I mean, I don't think so. Not like major thoughts. I was really interested to see more of how we got a little bit of a behind the scenes on how the game engine worked when they looked at the volume. But seeing more of how that game engine technology worked, that was really, really amazing. That we're at that point where we're kind of doing a lot of this in VR and we're filming inside of a game engine. It was almost like filming inside of a game, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
That part, I think for me, was one of the cooler aspects of this episode.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know what, to be honest, I had no idea that they were, I didn't really think about the process while I was watching the show, other than, you know, using the volume. I was aware that they were using that technology and everything, but I didn't realize they still used storyboards and they previz based off of those storyboards. And I didn't know they were still doing that stuff. You know what I mean? And I thought that was just, and the way the technology has improved that process. And just, there was one kind of quote in there about priceless preparation.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when you're working on filming a TV show, just the importance of planning ahead, because, you know, what they had, what they would do basically was they'd go into this pre-viz and see what was going to happen. And then they knew exactly what they needed to create on the set in the volume. And, you know, you build a set inside of that volume and then shoot what the pre-viz showed. So I just thought that was really, that whole process was really, really smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. But yeah, like I said, it was a short one, but a good one of this episode, the latest episode of Disney Gallery, and the process behind The Mandalorian. And next up, we're going to dive into our main segment of the show today, and we're going to talk about what Star Wars can teach us about social change.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I wrote this blog post on Wednesday night, actually, and published it on our website on Thursday. But I want to take, when Josh and I were trying to figure out what to do this week, and we'd both decided to talk about this a little bit more. So I'm going to actually go through and read this article. We'll kind of this blog that I wrote, and we'll kind of stop at different points through, and we'll discuss a little more. We want to open this up for chat, too. I mean, you guys are here. Yeah. You guys have things to talk about, things to say. So we want to get your input on this, too. It's not just Josh and I that are talking about this, making these observations. This is something for everyone to do, and, you know, we'll get into a little bit of that as well here soon. But a lot of this, I think, is about not just talking. It's about listening. So we want to know what you guys are thinking out there as well.
Yeah, that's a great point, Adam. And, you know, I just want to preface this discussion by saying once again that, you know, sometimes I'm fearful of speaking up because I really don't want to offend anybody. You know what I mean? I don't. But like you said, I mean, it's important that we speak up for what we think is right. And sometimes being silent can be just as bad as, you know, saying something that comes out wrong. You know what I mean? And but we definitely have to be willing to listen before we speak. So
yeah, definitely. And then one last little caveat here before we get going. You know, this isn't a camera trick. You know, Josh and I are two white dudes. so
very good point.
So our perspective here is limited to that. You know, we want to try to be open-minded and to listen to anyone who feels like they are being slighted or not getting the attention or the fairness that they deserve. And one of the goals of this show, this channel, this podcast, website overall, is that we want to welcome anyone here. And if you at any point feel like you don't have a place to hang out, you can hang out here. You know, you can be with us. Josh and I don't judge for anything like that. So we want you all to feel welcome here, no matter, you know, no matter what you look like at all, no matter what you believe in, we want you to hang out here. So, and feel welcome here, you know.
Absolutely. And Adam, I know you and I built this, you know, this idea for this podcast based off of the fact that we believe that everybody's entitled to their own point of view and embracing different points of view. And that's where this whole thing started. So,
yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into this blog post then. I had a friend that told me once a long time ago that the best science fiction and fantasy takes us out of our own world, but still teaches us about our world. The last few days and weeks and months have been filled with plenty of strife, anguish, hurt, and sickness. If Star Wars truly is some of the best in the genre, it should have plenty to teach us these days. Luckily, I fully believe this is true. I have been weighing how I wanted to approach this in the last few days, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought about some of the common threads in Star Wars. What follows are three lessons I have learned from these movies, and I hope that these translate into a good set of reminders for the days we are facing now, and the days that we'll face in the immediate future. So the first lesson that I have learned, and it is kind of fun because when I hung out with David from Tatooine Sons on Friday. One of the questions that they do for everyone is, you know, how does Star Wars communicate that message of hope to you? And that's one of the things that I talked about here. So first of all, there's always hope for a better future. I think Star Wars starts with this acknowledgement that things as we know them aren't perfect. They may even be downright oppressive, but we can and should be driven by a desire to make things better than they are. Anakin hoped to make sure that the people he loved were safe. Han hoped for a better life for him and Kira. Jyn hoped for a chance for a small band of rebels. Han, Luke, and Leia hoped for a life without Imperial tyranny. Finn, Poe, and Rey hoped for a free galaxy for the foreseeable future. When we lose our hope, we lose our chance to make things better. We become complacent. Brighter days can lie ahead, but we need to hope for it and let that hope drive us.
So, Adam, first of all, I'd like to say I just love how you pulled all those characters from those different eras of Star Wars into how they, what they hoped for. And you know, a question that came to my mind when I was reading your article, which was very well written, by the way, was how first of all, how do we get to the hopelessness, and how can hopelessness lead to complacency, basically?
How do we get to hopelessness? Like
I didn't have that question in the show notes, but it just came to me, like, what causes us to become hopeless, and then how does that hopelessness lead to complacency?
Well, I'll take the second part of that, and I'll let you think about how we get to that point of being hopeless. Hopeless leads to complacency. I think hope in a lot of ways drives what we do and what we strive for. If we don't have that hope, if we don't think that things can change, if we don't think that things can get better, I don't think that we then have a reason to try. That being said, I have to believe, I have to hope that there can be a better future ahead, and Star Wars has taught me that. I don't think that it would have been very easy for so this handful of rebels to go up against a huge empire, but you know, they had hope that that wasn't going to be their version of forever, that there could be a life after that and it could be better. And I think for me, I have to believe that also here, that we can get to that point where, you know, Black lives matter, and that we can start saying things like all lives matter, because we can get to that point where every life does matter equally. And I think it's painfully obvious right now that there is some double standard in this country, and not just in this country, across the world. And I have to believe that we can get to a better point with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to react to what you just said as well, because, you know, I guess I was always raised to have hope and to always, you know, I was never raised to, I guess I'll just say it, to be racist or anything like that. You know, I think sometimes you see racism that can just be present in a family and it kind of gets passed down and everything. That's not how my family was. So I was always kind of taught that all lives matter, you know? So it was hard for me when at first, when all this came up, because I was ignorant of the fact that right now saying all lives matter diminishes the Black Lives Matter movement. Because right now, sometimes you have to focus on those that are being, you know, kind of, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but
oppressed or
not treated equally, you know. Sure. So I came to learn that and appreciate that more. You know, but I also know for me where my hopelessness comes in is, and I think Adam, you can relate, and raising a daughter in this world and hoping for this world to become better, because it can be a scary place. You know, we just have been going through this pandemic, which divided people. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there's this that's happening, which is also dividing people. And, you know, I feel like I always had this hope that people would just get along and just agree and get to and figure out how to work together. And so my hopelessness comes in when, you know, I see polarization, you know, whether it was the pandemic and how it was handled, people on both sides, it causing division, and now this causing division, feeling you need to be on one side or the other. And just what we do is we get caught up in arguing instead of actually finding solutions and working together towards those solutions. And that's when I become hopeless, because it's like, oh my goodness, we're never going to get along. We're never going to get past our differences. And that's when I get complacent, because then I'm in that mode where, what can I do or what can I say? I'm never going to be able to convince these people that we need to get along and work together. So, I think that's how I get to hopelessness, and then how that hopelessness leads to complacency. So
yeah.
The next question becomes, how can we fight against hopelessness? And I think you kind of said it, and you kind of answered that already. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I would just reiterate what I said before, that I have to believe that something can change here. It can feel hopeless when we see all so much pain around us, and we see, mm-hmm. That, like I said before, that it's pretty apparent that all lives aren't mattering the same right now.
Right.
I think that in itself leads to hopelessness. But then for me to combat that, I have to believe that that doesn't have to be that way forever, that there can be movement on that, that there can,
mm-hmm.
that we can get to a point where we think that every life does matter equally.
Absolutely. And I know there's certain things in movies that inspire me, for whatever reason, movies especially, TV shows sometimes, but movies especially kind of inspire me in my life. And I have these lines in my head that kind of repeat in certain situations. So like when I start feeling hopeless, I think of that line in The Two Towers when Aragorn says there's always hope, and that's just something that always comes back into my mind when I'm feeling hopeless. Like, no, there is always hope, there's, even if it's just a small glimmer of hope, there's always hope.
Yeah.
And you need that.
Yes. Stephen Miller in chat says, these are tough conversations. They definitely are. He loves that we're mm-hmm. having this conversation in this place. So cool.
Thank you. I think it's just important.
It's tough things to talk about. Yeah. And it's not just, because we're talking about race. It's tough because we're talking about people that are being hurt. And,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for us to talk about. That's not what we want. So, it's a very... It's a very sobering, very good conversation for sure. And,
Yeah. And it's hard for me to even believe that this is still going on. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's hard for me to believe that, racism still exists, and maybe it all, I don't know if it always will or not, but.
Well, so that's what I was saying before. Like, I have to get to a point where I believe that it's not going to always exist, and that we
right.
can, mm-hmm. and we can start to move towards that.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and also in chat, feel free to chime in. If we move on here, we can always go back and Stephen just said, to be specific, I'm glad you're having the conversation because it's difficult. It should be. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Sometimes, The right thing to do is the difficult thing to do, and certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the next lesson that Star Wars has taught me is that we are stronger together than we are apart. Sometimes the message we hear makes us feel like we're alone, that we are divided and insignificant, and that our differences make us this way. This can become true if we let it. One thing to remember is that we are different. We are not one group of people with one set of ideals. We come from different places, we have different strengths, we have different beliefs. But here's the catch. When those different things come together for good, they have the power to be beautiful. Rebels were from all different walks of life. They came from farms, from military backgrounds, from political positions, even from the Empire. They had different abilities, different strengths, but those each had a purpose. So do we. All of us have a purpose here, and while some of us may be strong and outspoken leaders, some of us lead by how we act around others and how we show our love, and some still lead and support in other ways. So don't be frustrated if someone isn't leading how you would lead. They may be leading in ways that you don't see. Encourage them to do their best. We need all of us doing what we do best and doing that together.
It's great, Adam, and the first question that came to my mind upon reading that second lesson is, talk about a time that you felt alone or insignificant, and what was that like?
It's hard to come up with just one. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to feel alone, especially in these days, especially with pandemics and things like that going on.
Yeah.
You know, we have been forced to be separate. So it's tough to come up with just one example for this. And it's hard for me even more to come up with an example because of the life that I have been given, you know, like I because of the way I look, I haven't had to feel that way, you know? So it's hard for me to even put myself in that shoe, I guess. However, I have felt insignificant plenty of times, and that's a self-esteem issue on my part. It's hard for me to imagine feeling that way more often than just when I'm having my own, you know, mental things to get over, right?
Right.
Because apparently it's pretty obvious now that there are plenty of people out there that have to feel insignificant or alone.
Or that their voices aren't heard, you know, yeah.
Almost mm-hmm. on a daily basis, and mm-hmm. that hurts, you know. I don't want that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I can just relate to what you're saying. Any time that I have felt alone or insignificant, it's a terrible, awful feeling, and I definitely wouldn't want to feel that way, you know, more than I already do sometimes. And, you know, I definitely during the whole pandemic and the social distancing and everything, I certainly felt alone during that time, even though I wasn't actually alone. For me, like you, Adam, it's more of a mental, internal battle. One thing that I've talked to my wife about is one of the things that I struggle with the most is feeling insignificant. You know, I always want to feel like I'm making a difference or like I'm contributing to the world in some way. So, you know, I even just felt insignificant the other day when I wrote an article or a devotional that I've been doing weekly devotionals online, and just kind of felt like, you know, what does my voice matter? You know, is this even going to affect anybody? Just, you know, just feeling insignificant. Mm-hmm. So I think we can all feel that way sometimes, but it's important. I think what you said beautifully was that we can each use our differences and our strengths, and maybe those look different for everybody. So, you know, how can you differences be used for good? I guess is the second question that I had.
I think that comes down to something like using our gifts, which are never the same. Even people that have similar gifts use them differently, interpret them differently, express them differently. We're not all doing the same thing. We can reach people in different ways. We can influence change in different ways that may respond to others, to others differently, you know. It's, you know, Josh and I, both being religious, have this discussion about gifts a lot, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what it comes down to, using those gifts that we inherently have, so that we can highlight how, what I want to say here, so that we can highlight how different we actually are. You know, we're not the same. How we can celebrate how different we are, I guess, is what I'm trying to drive towards. Stephen Miller says, differences can help me understand things I haven't experienced, which is kind of what I'm stumbling on. So,
one thing that struck me too in the comments here was, you know, Megan saying that, you know, humble yourself to that person's level and show them that you can truly relate to their problems. You know, I think that's where it all starts, with being able to listen and really see people's differences. We have to be able to truly see each other, you know, each other for what we are, you know?
Yeah. My wife is out there as we're talking, have this serious conversation. The weed whacker comes by.
Hey, you know, she's, you know, maybe using one of her gifts to take care of your lawn out there. So
I want to take this moment to catch up on chat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Megan said, one spark, one person can start a rebellion and lead to real lasting change. The important thing is figuring out how to do it legally. Don't riot. Just protest peacefully for as long as you feel you need to. Also, mm-hmm. making people feel like they have an actual voice. Try opening an actual conversation about something rather than taking it under advisement and forgetting about it. Relate more to people rather than separating yourself from them and making decisions for the vast group. If the people are hurting, humble yourself to their level and show them that you can truly relate to their problems. Only when a problem really impacts someone so they can typically enact lasting change. And Megan, just I see your last comment there, and that's not crazy at all, and it's not too idealistic.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, I think it ultimately comes down to the fact that we all need to be able to look within and challenge our own beliefs and our own thought patterns and realize mm-hmm. that somebody out there sees something different than we do, and that's okay. You know, we should embrace that instead of fighting against it.
Yeah. And Rural Farm Boy says Star Wars teaches you to stand up for what you believe in, just as the Rebellion did. And he also says that the Rebellion was made up of many different races, which is totally true. And it's also mm-hmm. important to remember that the Empire was not.
Right.
The Empire was mainly human, with the exception of Thrawn.
Yeah. And I think their goal was to be uniform and the same, and, you know, they were dehumanized in that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And then Alberto from Radio Rebellion says, Star Wars teaches us to love all no matter our differences. The Rebellion is made up of all species, while the Empire only wants one type of recruit. Thank mm-hmm. you, Alberto. If I would have read that ahead of that, I would have given you credit for that.
Yep.
It's always been a message of hope, which is very true. Like I said before, I think Star Wars has always been about hope and that things can change. There wouldn't be much of a story if no one thought that the Empire could be defeated, you know? And Carl says that if everyone is the same, then when one fails, who is left to pull up the slack? No one. Individual differences gives us scope to adjust to pick up any slack. I like that. You said that better Absolutely. Than I could.
Very well said.
Yeah.
So you had one final lesson.
I have one more lesson.
Impart. Yes.
Not that this is the last lesson, but this is the last one that I thought of on Wednesday night. So the change that we seek starts with us. Pushing for change in the Senate didn't get the Republic anywhere in the prequels. Yes, they won some small victories here and there. Yes, there were good people doing good work. And yes, I do believe that that is also true in our world. But true and meaningful change came when people started changing what they could change around them. By effecting positive and meaningful change in our immediate vicinity, we can create ripples of change that can spread farther than we might imagine. We can go straight for that Death Star and try to blow it up. But chances are we'll need to effect change on Lothal first, and then maybe the people of Ryloth will need to effect change of their own. Then eventually we can learn what we need to learn on Scarif, and then we can make the change that we need to remove that Death Star. But sometimes the best route to make that happen is to make the changes we can make around ourselves first. And I'm just going to go ahead and finish before we jump into conversation again. Mm-hmm. Empires don't fall easily. Sometimes it takes 3 full movies to make it happen. But when we work together and allow ourselves to do what we each do best, when we strive and hope for a better future, and when we start to change what we can change in our own communities, that's when things start moving. Star Wars can teach us these things. It's up to us to put them into action.
Yeah, very, very well put, Adam. And I really enjoyed that article and thinking about that last lesson of that change. You know, what came to mind was watching Rebels. I remember watching Rebels and being like, oh, when are we going to get off Lothal? When are we going to get to the Empire stuff and get out of Lothal and everything? And, I found myself getting impatient. And it's kind of like going back to the real world where it's like you want to see that change right away. You want to see the big stuff right away. But sometimes you have to win that victory on Lothal first, like you so eloquently put. And so, you know, what small act or change can you make in your life that could have a ripple effect and lead to bigger change in the end?
I think for me, it's being more intentional about inclusion, you know?
Yeah.
It's not taking for granted that I feel that I'm not racist. It's being inclusive. It's being intentional about that. It's trying to show that and act that out, you know, every day, not just when these things come up, not just when protests are happening around us or politicians mm-hmm. are talking about it or CNN, MSNBC, Fox is talking about it. It's living that every day, you know, relating that back to Star Wars. The rebellion didn't just pick up when the Empire did something dumb. It was an everyday thing for them. It was, mm-hmm. it was a lifestyle. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a cause. It was how they lived their lives. Right.
Yeah. I think it's an everyday long-term battle that we're going to have to fight for, you know, for the rights of others. And, you know, for me, I think it's really about really spending more time listening to people's stories that are different from mine.
Definitely. And
I've been, you know, we mentioned both being Christian, and I've been listening to a lot of the videos and watching the videos on the Elevation Worship YouTube channel. And Elevation pastor Stephen Furtick had a conversation with Pastor John, and I can't think of what his last name is, but he is a Black pastor, and they were having this conversation, and he was really sharing his experiences, and it was very eye-opening for me to be able to listen to that, and just I learned a lot from that conversation. So just you know, being willing to listen to those different perspectives, I think, is something I can do, you know.
Yeah, and like I said before, this is about, you know, listening. You know, this isn't about using this term loosely, because you just talked about that, but this isn't about preaching. This is about mm-hmm. having a dialogue and having a conversation yep. and understanding what someone's life is like, and, you know, understanding where we're falling short on what we're doing and how we can be better at that. And we can't, you know, if I just sit here and talk, I can't learn from anybody without mm-hmm. listening to what they're saying, you know. It's not just my point of view that's going to fix everything here. It's having a discussion and learning about what's actually happening out there and what we can actually do.
Yeah. And I think those types of dialogues and those types of conversations, you know, mm-hmm. listening and then speaking and listening some more is what really can lead to change, because then we understand the other person's perspective. And we can yeah. work together.
Yeah, right. Going back to chat, Steven said he really liked that point. It's almost never one big thing. It's lots of little things, each doing what mm-hmm. you know we can in our corner of the world.
And, absolutely true.
And yeah, Carl mentions he's doing a degree in psychology, 2 years down, two to go. And he's in the UK and thinking of doing his mm-hmm. The psychology of Star Wars for his dissertation. That's pretty cool.
I love it. We love yeah. breaking down the psychology of Star Wars. So yeah. Yeah. Good luck with the rest of that. You know, going for that degree in psychology.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that takes us through the entire blog post. I want to thank everyone in chat for hanging out and talking about this and, you know, being very real about this conversation. Like Steven said earlier, this is a hard conversation to have. But you guys in this community have been really, really great about having this conversation. And I appreciate that.
Outstanding. Today. Outstanding.
The second thing I wanted to say is, you know, this is like Steven said before, again, this is a hard conversation. And this whole time I've been tempted to say, you know, maybe next week we'll get back to something fun, but I don't actually really want to do that. You know, it's like, yeah, we're not going to have deep conversations like this every week. But I don't want to just forget about this after this episode is done and, you know, hits podcast feeds and, you know, things like that. I don't want to feel like we just got that out of the way. Like we said before, this channel, this podcast has always been about welcoming everyone. And it doesn't matter your point of view about Star Wars or, you know, anything like that. We want this to be a lasting mentality around here, you know. Your opinions on Star Wars don't matter. But that's not the only thing that we welcome here. You know, this is about, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just about Star Wars anymore. This is about how we live, how other people are living, and how we can be better at making sure that we treat every life like, you know, like I treat my life. Making sure that equality is out there. And I think that that's one of the main points of our show here. So yeah, it's like I'm tempted to say I we'll get back to fun stuff, but I just want to remember that this is important. This isn't something that we just do a show and publish it and move on. You know, this is something that we need to be intentional about and make sure that this is how, you know, we build this community. So
yeah, I'm with you 100%, partner. I'm here with you on that. Yep. And you know, I think we are definitely called to love one another as ourselves. So I think we need to be very, very intentional, as you said, in doing that. So I appreciate your words.
Well, you ready to wrap up episode 32?
Let's do it.
I'm just glad you're here.
Thank you all for tuning in again. Thank you, like I said before, to everyone in chat, but I'll go ahead and give everyone a shout out here. We had Megan Rickards. Megan actually is the blogger over at From an Autistic Point of View, and she does some pretty great blogging over there. So make sure you check that out if you haven't yet. We had Mr. Rez. We had Roar Farm Boy, Pizza and Parsecs, 2Med2, Stephen Miller, Carl, and Radio Rebellion, Alberto from Radio Rebellion, and that should be everybody. So thank you everyone for joining in this conversation. I really appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to us, to the podcast, if you're watching live today, or if you're just listening without having subscribed yet. Check us out. We're on most major podcatchers, including Apple. Apple Podcasts now, I guess it is. Jeez, I do this every week. You think that I could have this down pat by now? Oh man. Make sure you leave us a review if you can. Check out the website from a certain point of view.com. We blew up one of our blog posts this week, but we do have other stuff there as well. And we'll be doing some more stuff this week too. I have a couple blog posts rattling around in my head. Twitter is Certain POV Pod. Facebook is From a Certain Point of View. Discord server links are always in the show notes and on the website. Email is certainpovpod@gmail.com. Anchor.fm is where we host our podcasts. You can leave us a 60-second voicemail there, where we would love to play it on the show. If you have questions, if you had thoughts about something that we said on this week's show, or any show for that matter, we'd love to play that. And other than that, Josh, why don't you tell the good people where they can find you else you do?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at JediJarJar1722.
And I am on Twitter at TheGauze85. I do some writing for FarFarAwayNews.com. Last but definitely not least, 2 weeks ago, and we've been pretty lacking in this, but we joined the Red 5 Network which was super exciting. That's a group of really great podcasts, that really kind of fit our ideals perfectly, about expressing different opinions and doing it respectfully and having a conversation and just being good people, you know? And so we're very happy to be on the Red 5 Network. Make sure you check out red5network.com for all the other awesome shows. The first, like I said, this was 2 weeks ago. The first week we can kind of be excused on because we didn't actually join until after the show. So we can maybe get a pass on.
We're excused for that one.
Yeah, last week's on us, so we'll have to own up to that one. Didn't even mention it last week.
We'll have to do some double time here.
We gotta make up for it. So yeah, make sure you check out red5network.com, follow them on Twitter at red5network, and there's just a ton of awesome shows there, and we're really happy to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about, you know, working together as a team, and, you know, together we're all in this together when it comes to everything that's going on in the world right now. So we got to keep that in mind. And thank you, Adam, for the article that you put out this week that we were able to talk about and that influenced, inspired this conversation. And thank you, everybody out there that joined us live or listen later once again. And just remember that, you know, today everything we said was true, but it was from
a certain point of view.